We pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you that you continue to bless us. We thank you that you continue to meet us in the midst of our sin and in the midst of our repentance with a word of grace, restoration, reconciliation, and forgiveness of sins. Lord, as we hear your word today, may your Spirit lead us. May he cast the light of your truth in our hearts and in our minds. And while it is often hard to hear what you have to say to us, Lord, we know that whatever you say is out of love and always for our eternal good. So help us, Lord, to ingest this reality through your word. Amen. Well, you're getting all of Numbers 11 today. And I forgot to tell Pastor Bray that I'd shift the focus of my sermon today. So he covered the other big portion of the message wonderfully about the mantle of leadership and how God has made it a communal affair so that no one comes under that weight alone to lead by themselves, but with the help of others and with the help that the Spirit has given to others. But today I'm going to look at something a little bit different, and you're welcome to open your Bibles to Numbers 11 if you want to follow along. We're going to spot check some verses, one before our appointed reading and then even a couple after our appointed reading. And why they didn't just make it all of chapter 11, I don't really know, and they don't ask me questions like that. So, I want to begin with verse 1 from chapter 11. Soon the people began to complain about their hardship, and the Lord heard everything they said. Then the Lord's anger blazed against them, and he sent a fire to rage among them, and he destroyed some of the people in the outskirts of the camp. The danger of the sin of discontentment begins with chatter. Seemingly harmless chatter. It continues looking back. It continues to even look around in the present. And it always ends with cursing God through whining and complaining. The heart has led to this sin for Israel and for you and for me. And the line has been crossed. When we understand that pattern, we see it also emerge just a few verses later in the beginning of our reading from Numbers 11 in verse 4. Then the foreign rabble, that's a nice way of saying Egyptians, who were traveling with the Israelites, began to crave the good things of Egypt. And the people of Israel also began to complain. Oh, for some meat, they exclaimed. Discontentment, brothers and sisters, is no different than your standing face to face with God and saying, you are not enough. You are not sufficient for me, and I will look elsewhere. The complaining and whining spread like a virus. You think COVID spread fast? Whining and complaining spreads far more rampantly. The people are discontent. Moses is aggravated. and God is angry with this sin that is thrown right in his face after he miraculously freed his people who whined and complained of their slavery in Egypt. And then when they whined and complained that there was no food, he fed them the bread of heaven. And here they are again, still not pleased with the place the Lord has them. Think of this. Their present discontentment has led them to crave the torturous slavery of the past. That's how sick sin is when it blooms in your heart and mine. This is a textbook case of discontentment. Enough is never enough. And then begins the woe is me whiny prayers. God, I don't have enough food. God, I don't have enough money. If I could just get a little bit more out of my boss. God, my house just isn't big enough or shiny enough. Lord, please let me have that car like my buddy has. Enough is never enough for the one whose heart is stuck in discontentment. So let's see, as we look closer, where this leads. One question we could ask ourselves, well, when our children are whiny, we try to ignore it. When God's people are whiny, does he listen? When they're complaining, does he listen? And the answer is yes. And he says, you want meat as you craved it in Egypt? I'll give you meat. Not 2 days. Not 3 days. Not five, but an entire month's worth. Moses, as his appointed leader, is not sure how this is going to happen, and he complains again to God, God, we don't even have enough livestock to feed everyone as they ask. Moses, you know, has been hearing the whining and complaining. They lived in tents with almost over 2 million people around, and the text tells us people were at their front doors whining, complaining, sharing their discontentment with this God who has delivered them from slavery. No wonder it spread from tent to tent to tent. And as Moses begins to doubt God and forgets that he's not actually the provider anyway, God says this to Moses in verse 23. Has my arm lost its power? Now you will see whether or not my word comes true. Make no mistake, the whiner's prayer is answered. The meat comes in abundance, in extravagant abundance. It says it's piled up for miles around their tents. And then we drop to Numbers 11, 33 to 34. But while they were gorging themselves on the meat, while it was still in their mouths, the anger of the Lord blazed against the people, and he struck them with a severe plague, so that the place was called Kibroth Hattaavah, which means graves of gluttony, because there they buried the people who had craved the meat from Egypt. Did you notice that little detail? They wanted the meat from where? Egypt. They did not treat God as the giver. They did not trust the overwhelming evidence God put before their very eyes. They acted as if he was not for them after all that transpired in Egypt and the Red Sea. Now we turn, brothers and sisters, our attention to that which our Lord Jesus, by his cross, has freed us from. Freed us from the domain of darkness and the devil and eternity in hell. Think of the miracle working power, resurrection power of baptism for you and me. Let's think about the body and the blood of Jesus given to eat for the forgiveness of sins, for life and salvation. Do you think God, who never changes, burns with anger at the sin of discontentment in us? Or is he willing to tolerate it? Because, you know, as many say, Jesus is nice. He's kind. He's loving. And it's not that he's not those things, but to act as if this wouldn't bother God if you were discontent, not after being freed from a land of slavery, but being freed from eternal damnation. If you think he doesn't get angry, you're mistaken. Because to tolerate sin would be, from God's perspective, to act as if the cross of his son was no big deal. That it didn't matter, that it wasn't really necessary for people like you and me. And I would say this, he burns just as hotly at it today as he did in Numbers 11, in verse 1 and in the end of the chapter. But here's the difference. We aren't given a portion of the Spirit as the 70 elders of Israel were. We're given the full Spirit, who came first in that full way at Pentecost and came next to you at your own baptism. And it's this Holy Spirit who in love says a tough word and calls out the discontentment in us. He turns us to the Father to beg the Father's forgiveness. And the Son says, "Here I am. Eat my flesh, drink my blood, and be satisfied." And he might also add, "And if you're going to crave anything, crave me." Consider also Paul's words in Philippians 4. He says, "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or an empty, with plenty or little. And in verse 19 he says, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ." Did you catch what Paul said? I have learned how to be content. He wasn't always this way, but he learned it. And he learned it through Christ, he says, who strengthened him. Contentment begins with trusting God. As one biblical scholar put it, we walk in the present and into the future facing backward, remembering God's faithfulness and work on our behalf. God's promises fulfilled, and our Savior's words, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always until when? The very end of the age." Why would we ever stop trusting the abundance of God's giving nature always on display before our very eyes? My prayer for myself and for you today, brothers and sisters, is that the Spirit would teach us contentment, just as he taught Paul. Through our repentance and through the new heart which emerges from the forgiveness of sins. And the invitation from God to wash our ears and eyes in the promises revealed and preserved in the Scriptures for us, so that we might see that Christ is all sufficient. He is all loving, and he will meet every need in accordance with the Father's will and his love for you and for me. We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, the spirit of discontentment can spread like a wildfire. Lord, give us eyes to see the discontentment in us who have been reclaimed through the cross is an offense in your eyes. It's an offense that leads to anger. But Lord, now in light of your Spirit, may it be an offense that leads to repentance, that we might receive the unending mercy and grace given to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.